Hi, I'm Nick Gregoretti, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, the show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Hey, everyone. Hope you've been having a great week. Welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show. Got a great guest today, Josh Stockman, but as per usual, before we dive right into the conversation, I want to ask you guys to continue to support the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood and the podcast and everything that we do. So there's many ways to do that. You can head on over to patreon.com/Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood and support us with any kind of donation or pledge there, and that helps us keep the show on the air. Or head on over to the store, which is store.jiu-jitsubrother.com. Use the coupon code podcast and get yourself 10% off anything we have in the store. And finally, if you want to check out my online academy, the Master Academy, some of the best online jiu-jitsu instructional material out there, it's jiu-jitsumasteracademy.com. Again, use the coupon code podcast and you'll get 10% off. Also, if you ever want to find out more about the sponsorship opportunities or how to support us, just head on over to the podcast site. Some of you listening on iTunes might not have ever been to that site. You might just be getting it straight through iTunes. But go check out the site. It's podcast.jiu-jitsubrother.com. Not only are all the episodes there, but we have some links to all the sponsor sites and ways to support the show. So please go check that out. Let's dive straight in with Josh Stockman. Hey guys, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show. I have someone I really enjoy the company of. It's Josh Stockman, also known as Nogi Yogi. He's one of the most fun, interesting guys I've met on the mats in a long time, and I've been wanting him to come on the show for a while. So Josh, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Nick. It's a pleasure, man. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. It is. That's the overwhelming sentiment I have when I think of you. I just think of a fun dude. So it's so great to have you on. What's been happening, dude? You're in Tucson, or you were in Tucson last night. I saw you at the class, but you live in Phoenix.
Yeah, trained last night on my way down to Tucson for work. Back in Phoenix today, enjoying the heat and gearing up for a couple of more competitions. Hopefully, I competed locally at a couple of events, and you know, yoga, jiu-jitsu, and craft beer, man, that's where it's at.
100%. You remind me of that Gerald, a mutual friend of ours, has a T-shirt, and it says jiu-jitsu then beers. That's all it says on it.
Yes, it's got to be in that order. I learned the hard way.
So you know, this is another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. As someone who lives in Phoenix, I moved to Arizona at the beginning of the year, and everyone was telling me, oh, this summer's going to be really tough, and I was like, whatever, dude, I'm from Africa, I can handle it. And god damn, dude, it almost broke me. How do you? And I've heard Phoenix is even hotter up there. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a slightly warmer here, and we have more vehicles and more concrete and more metal. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a heat island in downtown. And I'm from the Northwest, man. I came from the rain to the desert, so it took me a while. Took me a while to get used to it, but I fell in love with it. The sun shines here like 360 days a year. You just have to work your way around the heat like you'd work your way around the snow. You know,
you
can't be out in it too much. If you're out in it, you're at the pool or you're headed to the air conditioned car. But I've fallen in love with the Sonoran Desert, man, even when it's 119.
Well, I mean, for me, it's once it goes over 100, which is, I think, maybe 35 or 36 degrees Celsius, that's when it starts getting really ugly. And we had, I think there was a 50-day run here in Tucson that it didn't drop below 100. And so what my wife and I did is we went to Northern California. We just literally could not take it. Went and stayed with my buddy in Northern California, and man, it was such a literal breath of fresh air, that cool ocean breeze and stuff. So I've decided next year I'm probably going to be out of Tucson for the whole summer, and hopefully be in Northern California. I just can't take it, Josh.
Yeah, if you can pull it off, man, the snowbirds have the right idea. That's why all the towns in this state, they don't list the population. They list the date of founding. Uh-huh. Because population fluctuates aggressively when the extreme heat hits, everybody bails. And in the winter, when it's nice, everybody comes back. They got the right idea. I wish I could do it.
God damn, am I a snowbird? Does it come early for me?
Yeah, you're the world's youngest snowbird.
Josh, I wanted to know, I want to ask you about two things specifically relating to jiu-jitsu. The first one is, how long have you been training? Where did you start training? Because you are a literal encyclopedia of techniques. Every time I'm doing something or showing something or teaching or practicing, you always have a new perspective on the thing that I'm working on. And it's not always that I encounter someone like that. When did you start training and how long have you been training for?
I started martial arts as a kid. My dad, in his midlife crisis, started up judo and jiu-jitsu when I was about 10, and he dragged me along.
Nice.
And it was Japanese jiu-jitsu, no ai. It was the Dan-Zenru system.
Okay.
So I did that for a long time, and then a lot of karate, competing up and down the West Coast in high school and college. And then I really wanted to try an MMA fight, and it was around late 05 or 06, and it occurred to me from watching this stuff that you could not survive it if you didn't know how to wrestle at least a little bit. So I started messing with some jiu-jitsu and pulled off a couple fights by the skin of my nose. And then I kind of fell more in love with the jiu-jitsu than the karate, because it was 100% provable. There's some suspension of disbelief when you're chopping someone in the throat. You can't really test it. But when you're doing an arm bar, you can take it to the 99%, ending point and make your partner say uncle. So I fell in love with the honesty of it. So it's been 12 or 13 years. And I appreciate you saying I have that expanse of technique knowledge, or kind of a library, because I've trained everywhere. I travel a lot, and every place I go, I bring a gi or a rash guard. I've trained in hundreds of schools past years.
I can tell. Just was reminded of when you spoke of speaking of you mentioned karate chops, is that right?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
heck yeah. There's all kinds of killing moves in karate that are perfect to sell because they're untestable. It's almost like snake oil.
Well, speaking of karate chops, I was teaching a private lesson to a student here whose name I will not mention. Older guy, but still in great shape in his 60s, but still very tough and strong. And in the middle of the lesson, he had me in side mount and he was trying to put on an Americana and I was resisting. And he literally judo chopped me in the neck right in the middle of this private lesson. And it was one of those moments where I couldn't believe it that just happened. I had to like pause and I was like, is that real? Did that literally just occur? And so that ties into, I know it's another subject that's quite close to your heart, which is self-defense within jiu-jitsu. And I mean, I make no bones about it. I'm not the hugest fan of self-defense. I think some of it could have some practical application, and I think there's a few moves that everyone who trains jiu-jitsu should know, including the defense against a standing headlock and the defense against the haymaker, probably. But generally, I think that stuff is a little bit overhyped and oversold. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think, Hensō Gracie said something to the effect that you can't separate the self-defense from the wrestling and jiu-jitsu as a whole. It's all self-defense. You're learning to prevent another person from harming you while you attempt to harm them under a controlled setting on the mat. So for people to say, "Oh, we are a self-defense school," or "we practice self-defense, we don't just wrestle," et cetera, I believe it's just a selling point. And oftentimes they're selling possibility, not probability, like hair pulls and just a bunch of stuff that may or may not ever happen, that would be common sense to react to anyways. And I think what it becomes is marketing. If you don't have any medals on your wall, or you don't actively compete, or you don't have the gift of gab, and you can't teach effective moves while we're wrestling under a rule set on the mat, a great fallback is to say, "Well, we teach you to not get mugged at Circle K," which you need. That means jiu-jitsu ain't fun. That means you need it, like you need food and like you need gas in your car. And I'm just not a fan of it, especially the weapon defense stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's basically selling someone their death, dude, to try to get them to like disarm. someone with a knife or a gun. That's
I teach a knife defense. It's called the Reebok Heel Toe Express. You turn and go as far away as quickly as possible.
That's great. Yeah. I can see that. That's probably the one I'd use as well. You know, I found it very sad and very distasteful. I'm going to call him out on it because I feel I need to be called out on it. Henner, I think it's Henner and Heron is the way they're pronounced and those names. They put out there was some black belt Brazilian dude who got into some sort of road rage incident and then got shot and killed. This happened recently, or I saw the thing pop up in my news feed recently. And they then put on a video on when to use jiu-jitsu and when not to use it. And I just thought that was really... It was just really even poor taste trying to capitalize on what happened to this guy. I also think that this guy should not have gotten out of his car and started to try to get into an altercation with a stranger. I mean, no good can ever come of that. That's the thing that I just keep coming back to, is no good can ever come of those self-defense situations. I mean, even if, hypothetically speaking, you do manage to pull off this crazy move and break the dude's arm or choke him unconscious, it's going to result in a lawsuit, or it's going to result in some kind of bad karma, or his buddies are going to want to come back and get you, or you're going to get threats, or he's going to get injured and sue you. You know what I mean? There's just like no good can come of a fight in an uncontrolled scenario like the street or the mall or the ball game, if that makes sense.
I couldn't agree more. And it's in the likelihood, you know, I've lived in some big cities. I'm kind of a wise ass. And I have never, I've been in two fights, both which were completely avoidable. And it was because I was saving face and I was in my 20s and being a dope. But if anybody would be loud enough and irritating enough to invite a fight, it would have been me in my 20s. And it had never happened. And I lived in Los Angeles. And you know, Phoenix is the fifth largest city in the country. I just think it is paranoid preparation for something that may never happen. And I had a teacher once who said, you know, if you think it's going down, see it through to its logical conclusion and see if it's worth it. If somebody's in your bar stool, are you willing to break his nose over it or get hurt yourself or get sued or get stabbed? Or worse yet, have him hold a grudge and a month later while you're filling your Slurpee at the 7-Eleven, he drills you in the back of the head.
Yeah. So true.
See it through. Now, don't get me wrong. If I'm in a corner and somebody pulls out a club and they're going to beat my kid, well, then I'm going to see that through no matter what the cost. I'm going to defend.
Yeah, I once heard something, avoid fighting at all costs, but when it cannot be avoided, fight with everything you can. And man, if that comes down to it, like if some guy breaks into my house and, you know, attacks my wife or someone else I care about is in danger, man, I don't need to know the counter to the double lapel grab, man. I am going to charge in, grapple with that guy and like try to bite his throat out. This just, I don't need self-defense moves, right? Or I'm going to pull out my knife and stab him, or like I'm going to, do you know what I mean? I'm not going to use a 13-step counter to whatever the latest defense is.
I call most of that stuff LARPing, live action. In role playing, both people agree how the attack and the defense will be, especially the knife stuff. It looks like something out of the Beat It video or from West Side Story, the way these guys break out the knife and slash it back and forth. That's not how stabbings occur. Statistically, the knife comes out of nowhere and you get sewing machined and stabbed and stuck over and over before you know it. So Yeah, like you said, I think self-defense is common sense. Animals defend themselves. Have you ever seen a couple of silverback gorillas go at it? What kind of formal jiu-jitsu or karate training do you think they had? They just swing, go nuts until one of them quits.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And you as well, the reason I value your opinion so much on this is you work in law enforcement, and it's my understanding that you have worked in jails before. Is that correct?
Yeah, I started out for a lifetime ago in a secure facility, and this was before, before anybody had heard of the Mount, or any of these positions, or they didn't call it the Mount, and we were always in a pile with somebody who didn't want to cuff up or who didn't want to be transported. And guess what? We had a couple of general conceptual ideas of which direction a joint goes and which direction it doesn't, but usually you know, you have numbers on your side, and you know, the cuffs are going on one way or another, and you meet their level of force, and if they start punching you, you're going to start punching back. And I think what was interesting to me when really, really diving into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is that it's completely logical. There's nothing you do to say, well, why is that, or how does that work? It's a self-correcting art, and it's many things that we did forever ago, not even calling it jiu-jitsu, just wrist locks and positional manipulation and things that work. And we prove it every night on the mat, so we don't need to go through preset steps of you know, parrying here and blocking there and spinning and just a bunch of things that I think possibly work against us in the end, because we expect an attack to be a certain way. And if there's one thing a fight is, it's chaotic.
That's so true. That's so true. I mean, that's why it's, as much as I admire the guy, I find it hard to believe Hickson's claim of 400 fights and 400 victories, simply because, not that I think he's not a great fighter. It's just fighting is so unpredictable that over a long enough trend line, you have to lose, just by the nature of the unpredictability of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even his father was quoted by saying, to get to that number, you would have to count practice and stuff at the gym. I mean, 400-0, it sounds good.
It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, that's,
yeah, anyway. I suppose I could say that if I counted every practice and every time I was ever at the gym.
Yeah.
Actually, I couldn't, because I get beat a lot, because I'm willing to try new stuff and remove my ego from it. I love the guy. Without him, we wouldn't be where we are. He came through on some kind of West Coast tour to my dad's Dan Zanru school in Southern Oregon, and whipped the living hell out of everybody at the gym. My dad is a big man.
Yeah.
And that was the first I had heard of it. I think it must have been like 92 or right before the UFC. I mean, talk about impressive, but one of the things that really bothered me when Kron got his black belt and lost at some event, I can't remember where it was, but somebody interviewed his dad, and he said, what did you tell him, you know, based on your experience after that loss, to keep his spirits up? And he said, I don't know, I never lost. And I just thought, wow, man, what a stance to take, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
I just found it disappointing. You know, my coach, Dave, and the people I've been around, they are approachable people because I've seen them lose and bounce back from it.
Mm-hmm.
To train with a person who is or claims to be undefeated, I wouldn't be able to relate, you know?
No, I completely understand. You mentioned something earlier which I found pretty interesting. You said jiu-jitsu is a self-correcting art. And the first thing that came to mind when you said that is, do you think that there's anything at the moment that needs that self-correcting mechanism to kick in and correct?
Not really, because it corrects itself. Like people who don't want heel hooks or don't want barambolos or whatever, they can either avoid them, or the people who like them can prove their effectiveness. So I don't think in the art itself. I think it really, that's one thing I'll agree with about Hickson. I believe that it is perfect because we don't do things that don't work. That's the self-correcting component. I think maybe in the jiu-jitsu culture and the community, there's plenty of funny business, but that's just because you got humans involved, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you say when you see Keenan Cornelius and I can't remember which one of the Miao brothers it was, just locked in a 50-50 battle for 12 minutes or however long that was?
Pretty damn boring, both being hyper-cautious, but again, self-correcting. Guess who's going to pay to watch that match next time? Nobody. You know what I mean? I mean, I think rules-wise, we could maybe do some things to elevate the action, like stand people up or I think that's just the evolution of the sport. I mean, look at what the National Football League was at its inception and all the changes that it's had. I think some of that stuff can make for some boredom or cause people to, as they say, play not to lose instead of to win. But I think that could be addressed with rules corrections and things like that. I would say,
Yeah.
stand them up.
Agreed, agreed. Josh, one of the things that you are exceptional at is your ability to fuse yoga and jiu-jitsu. I know you did a great little segment for my online academy on how you incorporate yoga into jiu-jitsu. When did you, how did you find yoga and how do you, how would you encapsulate what it's done for you and your jiu-jitsu?
Well, it's kept me training for starters. Without it, I wouldn't be here now. I trashed my neck in 09, and I kind of really dug into the yoga to rehab it. But what's unique, a little bit unique about my yoga experience is that I encountered it and started it about the same time that I discovered jiu-jitsu. So I kind of improved and established some proficiency at both at the same time. So I really did get to see how they completely interrelate. A lot of people, I know a couple of a really, really, really phenomenal yoga instructor that I train with from time to time, who's just getting into jujitsu. So he's going to have his biases from yoga to take with him. And I know lots and lots of really good jujitsu guys who are just getting into yoga. So they have the opposite problem. I had the kind of unique experience of discovering them both and learning about them both at the same time. And it was a completely random occurrence at the International Karate Championships in Long Beach in, I think, 06 or late 05. I can't remember what year it was. Maybe
Wait,
it
wait,
was.
wait. Is that the one Bruce Lee did the demonstration
Yes,
at? No way.
that is Ed Parker's tournament that years and years and years ago, Bruce Lee had his appearance. And then after a Grandmaster Parker died, it was kind of revived by the late Frank Trejo, and held in Long Beach at the Convention Center. And I was there to compete, as I was just starting to fiddle with jujitsu a little bit. And Dallas Page was there, Diamond Dallas Page, the
No
wrestler.
way. Yeah.
You're doing this big presentation on this program he had called YRG, Yoga for Regular Guys. And
Nice.
it was the first like big athletic dude I had seen doing yoga, because in my experience, it was always these little, super slim, waify, at best, lightweight gymnast types. And it did not relate to me. When I saw him and his students up there doing it on stage, I got intrigued, and I ordered his DVDs, his home study program. He had kind of fused yoga with calisthenics, and I loved it. And from there, I started going to a couple of yoga schools, and then I just trashed my neck in 09. And I really couldn't train much jujitsu, so I did as much yoga as I could. And, accidentally, I call myself an accidental yogi because that's what sold me on it. The blood flow and the skeletal alignment and the working of the muscles and the psychological, emotional agency of being able to heal myself put me back on the mats. And now I'm still cautious with my neck, but I'm still training hard and competing. And there was one time the doctors told me to give up contact activities. I said, "Do you think I need more PT?" to one doctor, and he said, "I think you need golf."
Yeah, it's a fate worse than death, right?
Oh man, what would you do with yourself?
That's wild. So your current practice is how do you split up your training? Is it a couple of nights per week jiu-jitsu and a couple of nights yoga, or what do you do?
You know what? I have a small little club style gym up here, which is fantastic because it allows me to cross train. I probably go to four or five different gyms, and I do three classes that I attend, two to three classes that I attend of yoga per week, at a couple of different studios in Phoenix. And then I teach a couple classes, followed by jujitsu, gi and no gi, that I teach. And then on those off days from jujitsu, I'll travel around and train elsewhere, including with you when I'm in Tucson and every place. It's great to have that freedom. I would never want to have a gym that I had to teach at, 6 nights a week.
Yeah, that can be real taxing on a man's soul, dude. It's one of the
Yeah.
reasons I haven't opened my own place is I just that does concern me, you know. Josh, one more question for you, and I think it is well suited to your personality and the nature of this discussion. It's something I asked Joe Rogan when I was on his show many years ago, and unfortunately we didn't really get into it because the other person I was on the show with I didn't think you liked the question. I think you tried to steer it away from it, but I thoroughly enjoy this question. Who do you think would win in a fight between a polar bear and a silverback gorilla?
I think the silverback is supposed to be the strongest pound for pound animal on land, and I think he's got a brain case closer to the size of ours and extreme mobility, man. I give it to the silverback. I think he would withstand the bites and the slices. Yeah, I'm on team gorilla there. I'm sticking with my genetic brethren.
Cool. I think I'm gonna make this a standard feature, this question. And so we're 1-0 to the gorilla. And I'll keep asking it from here on out. Josh, my brother, I know you have a fantastic yoga program, which is, I would say, on par with the Yoga for Grapplers program that I do. If people want to find out about it, where could they find out more?
BJJFanatics.com. It's called Grappling with Yoga, and it really is designed for people who want to do yoga a little bit and get the benefits without like diving into yoga. My answer to people, it's not very good for selling DVDs, but my answer to people who want to get into yoga is go find a yoga school and go to it every day. The problem is most people can't or won't. So having a resource, at home that they can use to develop their own program, I think is ideal, because I've never met anybody anywhere who said, I don't like yoga or yoga doesn't work. I have heard people say, I don't want to go hang out with hippies and wear bracelets and chant and screw around. I just want the benefits. So program, I think like mine and yours gives people the benefits without forcing them to engage in a whole culture.
Totally agreed. And I do recommend anyone listening, if you're interested, check out Grappling with Yoga. It's a great, great program. Josh, my brother, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Absolutely fun, man. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll be listening. I'll probably see you at Undisputed next week.
For sure, my brother. Peace out.
I really appreciate that Josh didn't pull any punches when it comes to self-defense and its place in jiu-jitsu. My views aren't as extreme as his. I think there is a place for learning specific self-defense techniques or strategies. I think the two that are vital are standing headlock defense and the counter to a haymaker, because those are the two things I believe, if you get into a physical confrontation, that you have a chance of surviving, which is one that doesn't include a knife or a gun or multiple attackers or broken glass on the street or a million other things. If you get into a competition with someone who's untrained, they'll usually do one of those two things. They'll throw a haymaker at you, or they'll try to put you in a headlock, because those are instincts. Those are fight instincts. Even though they're usually incorrect instincts, most untrained people will use those. So you should know how to defend against those. As I said, I really respect and admire Josh because he just calls it the way he sees it. And he's a guy who has. He has experience in this field. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's worked in jails. He works in law enforcement. He knows what happens in physical encounters. He knows what works and what doesn't. And that's why I take his opinion seriously. So I appreciate that. Also, his yoga program is great. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. You can find it with a search called Grappling with Yoga. There's also a link in the show description on the website. Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed that one. I'll be back in a week or two with the next episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show. Until then, train hard, train smart, and peace out.